Order the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission meeting for March 9th, 2016. If you all stand, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, please call roll.
Tom Wyszynski.
Here.
Tom Gazdecki.
Here.
Anthony Broadnax.
Here.
Ron McCarron.
Here.
Debbie Long, absent. Dave Castellanos.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Let's go. Approval of the minutes for February 10th, 2016. Modifications, changes, additions, motions. What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes as presented.
Motion, is there a second?
I second.
There's a second. Any discussion? Be there none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. In the records for all to read. Next up is the chairman's report. I guess that would be me. As our pictures of September 2008 get more and more yellow and fade, the thoughts where everybody was that was involved in this project when that happened should never be lost. Keep in mind, again, this is a $275 million man-made project that if it isn't taken care of, it fails. So one thing we can say is that for a fact that we are far better prepared to get 10 inches or 10 feet of water in for a 5-foot gallon bucket than we were in 2008. So from where we stand today from that time, I think we're far better off as it relates to being prepared. However, this is Mother Nature, and Mother Nature has the final say. So let's keep in mind the things that we do are first and foremost to make sure events like that are minimized greatly. One of the issues that we always bring up is by putting this federally designed flood control project, especially on the west end of this system where the majority of the houses were built next to the river, we're able to protect those homes and that property to the point now where about 1,400 property owners who are not required through their mortgage to pay flood insurance. Now, we always recommend that everybody that's close to the river pay for their flood insurance, but it's not a requirement. We've calculated that's close to $4 million in savings every year. That's, in my opinion, an economic development project. So these are things that are important. Most important, though, at least from my personal perspective, is making sure something like that is greatly reduced as far as a possibility. That said, let's keep moving along. Finance report, we need a motion on the claims, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the claims for this month in the amount of $187,196.96.
Okay. There's a motion and second. A second. Mr. Repay.
As usual, I'll go over some of the high points or the more interesting claims. We'll start with Garcia for the engineering for the NDOT easements. As explained in the meeting prior to this, that is in relationship to the crediting that we need to do to make sure that NDOT and actually the project has enough or proper easements for NDOT that encroach on NDOT's property. So they have to do the surveys. That's $12,300. Superior Engineering for $8,700 for the Burr Street North backup generator that we hope to have resolved here very soon and put installed sometime this summer. And it's not the rainy season yet. Sandbar modification from Hassey for $34,560. There's about $160,000 still left on that claim that we approved. If you see right now that we're working on putting some of the straw and coconut down to eliminate some erosion issues, and they'll be planting the bushes and trees and other material there hopefully shortly, maybe beginning of April, I'm sorry. Dawson for our services for crediting, And then our general liability insurance for $38,475. Other than that, I'm trying to think of anything that's exciting. We have officers, directors and officers insurance for just under $5,000. If there's a specific...
All right, bring it back up here. Any questions for Mr. Repe as it relates to the bills? Oh, no way I'm letting him go. How much longer on the sandbar? This is $34,000. How much is left over?
About $160-something.
$160. And then as far as being completed?
All the grading work out there is done and complete. It's just a matter of planting the riparian right-of-way or area, which is the environmental area that needs to be planted.
So the equipment's out?
It was moving its way out this afternoon when I was out there.
They were out there yesterday.
We're trying to get the blankets covering the sediment here now that it's finally completed.
They're putting blankets out there?
They're made of coconut and straw.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Any questions or comments to Mr. Repay on the bills?
Actually, Bill, $128,000 is open on that contract.
Still left.
Still left. Maybe.
If you take off the 30-some, I think that's when you get to the...
28% of the contract still to complete.
Thank you. Anything else?
Riparian, that's a good word.
I learned it.
All right, let's roll call the bills. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Ron McCarron.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Next up is the executive director's report as far as what's going on. We talked about the sandbar. Mr. Repe, what else is going on?
Well, we've executed the contracts for the culvert cleaning and video, which were the ones that we opened last meeting, and that went to Green... what was it? Green Tree? Green Tree Environmental?
Green Line.
Green Line Environmental, thank you. Caulk and joint repair that went to Grimmer Construction, as well as the Lyman manholes that went to Grimmer Construction as well. So all those contracts were reviewed by our attorney, and we have signed them, and so they should be starting here work before the inspection process. Burr Street South Pump Station, which is the pump station that we recently took over from Gary Sanitary District, we have some proposals as to what flight is going to cost to have those two pumps fixed. We are bidding that process out for the electrical service. Those advertisements should be in the paper here in the next couple weeks, and you should have those proposals for your April meeting to open. So we're going to open those up for everyone to bid on. We also, separately, we had the fence looked at, and we're seeking proposals to have the fence changed because the business that's located on the south and south east corner of it, there's been some damage done to it and compromised the security of it. We will tonight open the bids for Georgia Street Project, which is the elevation of the street itself, so we don't have to have as many sandbags in the city of Gary. I believe the number is 2,100 if we believe the latest one. I thought it was a little bit less, but roughly between 1,800 and 2,200 sandbags will be eliminated by doing this, along with a levy paving contract, which will pave certain parts of the tops of the levee, and then we're starting from the state line, working our way to the east, also because we have some gaps in the actual trail, so we need to fix through some land ownership issues. So annual inspections will be starting April 11th. They'll be starting in Griffith, right off of Arbogast, and we'll be working our way to the east. That whole week will be Griffith and Gary. So we'll walk that entire section and inspect all the gates and structures. And then they want to take a break, or we need to take a break too because we can't walk that much. We'll start back up on May 9th, which we'll start with Munster. Then we'll go to Highland. And then we'll finish up with Hammond. And then the last day will be pump stations. So that will be our 2016 inspection
season. All three of those on the same day, Munster, Highland, and Bumstead?
No, Munster starts on Monday, Tuesday's Highland, Wednesday, Thursday is Hammond. And Friday generally is like the rain date, and also it will include pump stations. They divide into three groups. One is for pump stations, so they have the Corps has two folks, sometimes to inspect the pump stations. Then they have a levee team, which they walk the levee to make sure there's no animal burrows or anything that's going on or shifting in the levee. And then there's the gate structure group, which make sure that you can drill the gate down fully and then bring it back up.
Okay. Same week, though.
All yeah, they're the same week because we divide into three. So it's an eventful.
I know last year I remember claims that we had to get people out there from the individual municipalities to inspect and make sure everything was in order.
Yeah, generally we reimburse each community for their expense for the time that they go out there and do this. So I think Hammond has six people that they do because they put two or three people on their pump station and two or three on their gates because you need the generator and the tripod and the drill itself. And so in Hammond, to just use them as an example, we start one group on Forest Avenue and the other group is on Klein Avenue, and they work towards the middle to get it all done. And we usually generally meet at the BMV at the Boulevard. That's how it seems to work out. Highland is a much quicker process because I believe they only have seven gates, and Munster has eight, I think.
Do they exercise them during the course of the year?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they generally, we just had our operation and maintenance meeting this morning or this afternoon, and so what we talked about was start doing them now in case there isn't an issue with them. We can fix them or deal with them. But they generally, I know Hammond, Highland, and Munster generally do the gates one other time besides the inspection. We deal with the gates in Gary, we being the little Cal, and so we try to do as many as we can. If we're in that area doing work, we'll just bring the generator out because we have a generator. Little Cal has a generator that we purchased, and so we can do that and exercise them up and down and then try to grease them when we're out there.
So everybody's privy to the schedule and when we're going to start.
Mm-hmm. We got the official, and we had it unofficial before this meeting, and then Munster and Highland actually had to switch dates because of water testing issues that they had, so we flip-flopped them, but they're all good. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
I have one question with regards to the culverts. Can you help me again and tell me where those specific scopes and cleanouts going to be? I can't remember. I know it was the end of the last run of work that we did, but I can't remember. That was last year.
So the culvert cleaning that we are doing in this contract is for Highland, Munster, and Hammond, and then NDOT, which is a new addition to our project, which is the ones off of Ridge Road and 65, if you're going eastbound on 94, as you're going to Central Avenue, the off-ramp, there's a couple over to your right-hand side, and there's a couple on your left-hand side as well. I think there's six altogether in NDOT. The other ones have all been inspected and videotaped as a part of Gary North, Burr Street, Marshalltown. We've done that as a part of the rehabilitation project. So they have to be done every 5 years. And so this would just make them all now complete, and we'll be ready to do the next cycle in 2 years, starting with Burr Street.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments, Mr. Repe? Moving right along. Next one is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to authorize the opening of bids for the Georgia Street Grade Adjustment Project and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder pending review by the attorney and the staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion, Mr. Repe.
What I'll do is I'll open them, and then we'll try to tally them and give them the best number, and then I'll report back to you guys probably under new business or other business as to what the outcome of these are. That we have five for Georgia and two for levee paving. So
okay, we haven't got to the levee paving. So for this one, just do a quick overview of what we're doing here as it relates to the Georgia Street Grade Adjustment.
We're raising Georgia Street in Gary from about 33rd Street to the approach as it goes over 94. So by raising this, we don't have to utilize sandbags for a closure. This road will be high by the natural grade that we are going to adjust it to.
Got it. Questions on that?
Dan, I got a question, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
When you say into the approach, that's into the, if you're driving north, coming from 33rd, that's about how far into the bridge?
We're going to make it continuous so that it's paved throughout. So there's not a, we didn't want to leave a 100-foot gap of unpaved road. So we're paving it from just north of 30, or around 33rd, all the way to where our easement or where to the road stops and the approach to NDOT takes place. And I would guess a couple hundred feet, yeah, probably more than that, 400 or 500 feet north of the levee.
Okay.
Any other comments? There's a motion and a second on the floor. Let's do a roll call. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix.
Yes.
Ron McGarren.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Open away, Mr. Repay.
Thank you.
All right, any other new business on the floor? Gentlemen, ladies.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to...
Oh, the lady's not here. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Move that to that the executive director opens bids for the levee paving project and award to the lowest and responsive bidder, pending review by the attorney and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Discussion as it relates to Mr. Repay will now tell us at what point is this levee paving project going to start and commence? I'm sure it's not the whole thing, is it?
It is not.
Okay.
What this will do is on the Hammond side of the levee between Calumet and Lyman, it will join those two paths together. Our recreational trail ends at Calumet Avenue. So by continuing on the other side of Calumet Avenue, you join up to the new Monon trail system that we just participated in with the bridge over the river. So you'll be able to go from those over towards to the east, towards Wicker Park. So from Calumet to Lyman will be paved, and it'll be a new trail for not only us to work on and work with better maintenance and not rut out the top of the levee, but people will be able to utilize it for purposes of biking, walking, running, or whatever you want to do. It then goes on the Hammond side by the Wendy's or the Visitor Center. There's a bridge. It will go from that bridge on the far west side. It will go to Kennedy Avenue. It will cross over the Kennedy Avenue and go past the Oxbow Park in Hammond. When you go into the Highland side, it will take into account from the Board of Work or Public Works building all the way to the Rookery, and then it will build a trailhead at Libel Avenue. The problem in Highland is they don't have a connection at that point. They sort of hit a dead end. So by building this trailhead, which we're working with the city of Highland on, it will allow people to park there, enjoy the scenery with the birds, and also get on the trail and then complete their loop that they have that goes down Highway Avenue. So then the next step will be, as I talked about in the other meetings and now, is we have some gaps in our trail system right now as it heads to the east. One is by the Griffith Golf Center, getting around that railroad. Two is Chase Street, because Chase Street was vacated. So we have to figure out a way to allow that trail system to continue. And then finally, which is a more complicated one, is getting past Martin Luther King to Three Rivers Park. And that's going to be a very complicated one, but that's something that if we can achieve, then
wait, we'll... Wait, Three Rivers Park, that's in Pittsburgh.
we're pretty close.
That's
a long trail system.
Okay.
So we have some thoughts on how to do that, but that's long-term to do the Three Rivers one. But the other ones, Chase and the one on around the railroad, we think we have some ideas. So that people can utilize all 20-some miles of the top of the thing.
10-4. And just for the public, you know, what we try to do is this is also not only a flood control project but also a recreational project, is to incorporate these paths to be able to handle trucks and equipment needed to do maintenance work within the levee because we were provided with a project that didn't necessarily have that type of avenue. We would have to drive on top of the levee, and if it rains here once in a while, it ruts out, and then we would get written up from the Corps during inspections for having ruts in the top. So we're trying to kill two birds with one stone, to not to offend anybody with that, but that's a project to be efficient, and we're getting there. So any other questions for Mr. Repay on this paving? So there's a motion and a second.
Yes.
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman, so we're also, from last month, reviewing the Kennedy Avenue bridge crossing. There's no trail paving scope duplication, as far as we know, between the two projects.
For the Kennedy Avenue Bridge?
Yeah, because I think there's some trail improvement right around Kennedy. I think you mentioned Kennedy a minute ago.
Yeah, some companies... included that in the bridge proposal, but that's there hasn't been any discussion as to who would be awarded that.
Roger that.
So there's a potential we'd be putting in a bike path or paving and then tearing it out should this bridge project move.
No.
Good.
Because what you would end up with is it would be redirected. Right now we have it currently signaled at that intersection. It's signaled.
It's scary there.
For hitting the button, we added that button there so that although not perfect, there was nothing there before. So you'd hit the button, it'd change the light, you'd have 120 feet to cross over, and we improved that path up to the actual bridge by the public works. So if the bridge is put in, we're not changing those intersections at Corinne Drive or I forgot what the other side was called. Was it Carlson Road? So none of those interchanges will be impacted. There may be some variations, but it won't. We're not going to be tearing out hundreds of feet of pavement to do it.
Okay. Anything else for Mr. Repay on this one?
Comment?
Go ahead.
Appreciate that the trail across the bridge is complete. I'm the only one that was here at the time. When we started in after the flood, but you weren't in the meeting. I don't think we were trying to get things cleared out so we could get stage 8 bid, and one of the problems was getting across that river with the railroad, and we took it out at that time so we could get the flood wall in. So that was in January of 2009, so I'm glad that that's resolved and we'll get the trail finished 7 years later.
Previous comment. All right. Motion and a second. Let's do roll call, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Ron McCarron.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Nice. Moving right along.
Okay.
Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Executive Director to enter an agreement with the DLZ for design of the Harrison Avenue Bridge in an amount and not to exceed $275,000. Also, just like to make a note that this particular design will help eliminate over 2,100 bags of sand that's been used in the process that controlling the flood for that particular area. Also would it encourage to stop transportation and commerce and help out the homeowners in that particular area.
There's a motion and a second.
Second.
Outstanding. Mr. Repay, I know you're in the busy opening up all of this stuff, but multitask away. Will
happy
you
to help. So as a part of our effort to eliminate humans in this flood fight battle and to protect the IU Northwest, who is a sister school to the Big Ten Championship in the
banner up.
I figured I'd give them some.
All these Purdue people.
I know. So I think you throw you a bone.
I was thinking boiler up.
So
with you, Anthony.
In that same area, we also did
the
manhole extensions in that area also to protect it because we identified in the 2008 flood the manholes were infiltrated, flooding was in Gleason, and also affected IUN. So to protect that, if you raise Harrison You eliminate the need to protect it from overbanking at that area, as well as, with in conjunction with our manholes, we better protected that area. The next course of action will be Broadway. And I'm not sure how to necessarily do that. It's a state highway. It needs to be raised 2.5 feet. It may be something similar if we choose to go down like Georgia Street, where you raise it, or we just leave it and just work out an agreement with IUN. But this Harrison will protect, and it's, from a public safety standpoint, it is, as far as the city of Gary is concerned, is a major thoroughfare for their safety vehicles throughout the city.
And, you know, keep in mind, we talked about earlier about the event of something like this, and if we do have a rain event like that and Mother Nature does it across the system, how many sandbags do we have to throw across the system per the design that was bestowed upon us by the Army Corps of Engineers?
I think it was initially 55,000, although that number has been reduced.
55,000 across the entire system of sandbags that we need to be put down during a rain event.
And that's going to be reduced by, hopefully, one day we'll do Kennedy Avenue, which will be a significant...
We also knocked out Columbia.
Columbia was a significant one. If we do Georgia, this will be Harrison, so you'll be left with Grant, and you're left with, well, Burr Street is not a factor, but neither will Colfax or Calhoun. There's going to be some roads that you're simply not going to be able to do anything with, and you're still going to have to put sandbags or some sort of closure there.
Right. So this is trying to eliminate the amount of resources that would normally have to go to do flood, flighting, and sandbags and go elsewhere during an event like that. Hopefully we don't ever have to see that. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Repay on this one? Either or none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Ron McCarron.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Giddy up. Any other new business?
One more thing, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to give you authorization, pending legal review, of course, to execute a non-binding letter of intent for a land lease with Maya Energy LLC.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, Mr. Repay?
We've been approached by a company that would be interested in leasing some of or getting a license from some of our property that we have that is currently being farmed. It's located in Gary. And this is, you know, they've come to us and they really can't get any of their permits or their process or their planning commission started until they have some sort of LOI. LOI from, or a letter of intent from us to say that, yeah, we're interested in this, but it's all upon you to make that happen. So we don't have a vested interest, certainly I'm not going to speak for legal, but we have to give them this to let them start the process that they need to do for permits.
Thank you. Any questions for the Mr. Repay on this one? Discussion items? Comments?
Comment I have,
Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, the only comment I have is that, you know, we don't know too much about this company, and I'm not too sure about what kind of services or what kind of project that they intend to do. So, you know, I have some concern until we receive more information of what their real intentions are and what products or what project they intend to bring to the city of Gary, that area. I think we should hold off from issuing anything until we get more information.
Yes, sir. And then my understanding of this is that it's just a letter of intent to explore this to see if there's an opportunity there. It's not binding us. We're not actually doing anything. They still have to go through the municipality as far as permitting, environmental, engineering, finance, a lot of those types of things. But this is just a step to move forward on that. Is that true, Mr. Wicklund?
That is correct. It is a non-binding letter of intent.
So, and there's some significant dollars to the commission over and above what we're currently getting for the farming component. So that said, is there any other comments or discussions? Mrs. Lambert, let's see what the folks have to say.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Ron McCarron.
Yes.
David Castellanos.
Nay.
LaVon Whitaker.
Abstain.
William Baker.
Yes. So moving right along, any other new business? Mr. Wicklund.
I have nothing.
Mr. McCarron?
No.
Mr. Wyszynski?
Nothing at this time.
Mr. Gazdecki?
It's not new business, I guess. It's more of a question. Since I'm not, able to make. I guess I'll wait for statements from the board.
Okay, Mr. Broadnax.
Negative.
Mr. Whitaker.
None.
Mr. Castellanos.
None.
All right, moving right along. Favorite part, statements from the floor to the board. If you'd like to address, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the man, and help us move this along.
Maybe we could see the fruits of Dan.
Are you done yet?
I am.
Oh, all right. Sorry. I don't know how long it was going to take for you to do whatever, opening the mail.
We've gotten pretty good at this.
Okay.
We've got a letter opener this time. Yeah.
All right, so what we've got is the first one is the Georgia Street Grade Adjustment Project, to which you mentioned there was, what, five?
There are five, correct.
Okay.
So in no order, just the order that we open them, I will read them to you. Reith Riley, $207,170.79. Walsh and Kelly, $186,078.00. Austin Equipment, $271,882 even. Grimmer Construction, Dyer Construction, $246,830.65. Grimmer, $212,114.85.
What was the first one again? Reith Riley? What was it?
Reith Riley was $207,170.79.
Thank you.
Okay, so, and then the next one, which is Levy Paving, there were two. Reith Riley, $637,764.10. And Walsh and Kelly, $726,969.77. So those are unofficial. I mean, certainly, I think I got them right, but if I didn't, we'll review them with staff.
What was that first one again?
For which one?
Paving.
Reith Riley.
Reith Riley was $637,764.10.
And Walsh and Kelly was how much?
$726,969.77. So with that, Reith Riley would be apparent on the low on the levy, and on the Georgia Street grade adjustment, Walsh and Kelly would be the lowest at this point in time.
Thank you. That is all. All right, back to the statements to the board from the floor.
Lining up.
Yes, sir. John, make sure that's on, will you please? Testing. I think it's on.
Is it on?
Yeah, you're not going to sing, are you? Yes, sir.
John Beckman, Catalystical Consulting. Just up here briefly to further erudite you about the Calumet Heritage Partnership. They will be applying to Congress as early as this year to make the Calumet region a Calumet Heritage area. What that means is it becomes under the jurisdiction of the National Park Service. They don't buy anything. They don't control anything. Everyone gets to keep their businesses and their land. But they do provide marketing dollars and marketing approaches to highlight the significance of the Calumet region. So people may want to come to visit our area. And there are three major areas that are of principal concern to the Calumet Heritage Partnership, and it is our labor history, whether we talk about the steel strikes or Pullman or Marktown. They also are very interested in the ecological significance, because we are the birthplace of ecology, and we have one of the widest, most diverse set of native plants in America, certainly in Middle America. You have to go to the Everglades to get a more diverse set of plants. And finally, the remarkable and diverse history of all of the ethnic groups. There are so many, and there's so many dramatic stories that can be told, that people literally from Europe, in fact, we just in the last year or two had a group fly in from France to a rock concert in Maryville, but they wanted to take a bus tour of the dunes. So even though we may kind of take for granted what we live in, other people think, my Lord, what in the world is that place about? We are the region of rats. Too, sometimes.
The locals don't say that.
Only local weedies. Yeah. But anyway, I just want to come down here frequently to give you brief reports to help you better understand what this is all about, because after all, you do own the sweet spot in the middle of the Calumet region that so many people on I-80/94 come by and see, and it is there for recreation and to attract dollars, where people come and stay for a weekend or at least stop by and have a meal at a local restaurant. So I'll tell you more about it over the coming months. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Lori, just give me a second. I'm sorry, Natalie, do you have anything to say from the Army Corps of Engineers? I apologize. I'm getting a little older. And I'm sure Lori's going to want to know something from you anyway, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to put that out there.
Sure. Good evening, Natalie Mills with the Army Corps of Engineers. Firstly, I'd like to introduce the gentleman that's going to be taking over for me for the next 3 months. His name is Michael Padilla. I'll introduce him to you all individually. But so this will be my last meeting. I'm doing 2 weeks to any day now. So so I'll be back for the July meeting. So we have the meeting scheduled with you all for the 15th of March, where we're having monthly PDT meetings just to go over where we are. So just to give an update as to the Hammond Tyvek, we're planning to provide a general scope, because that was one of the questions. What is the plan for taking the blocks from the 100 to the 200? Basically, we're planning to just put cast in place concrete just right on top of the blocks. So the existing blocks will stay as they are. We'll just put some concrete on top, and basically that'll be the extent of the project. Cost, we're still working on that because we don't have all the details identified yet. Dan, did you ever respond to my email about the gaps? I know that was one of the...
I gave it to Bill.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
Today.
Okay, great. So one of our questions was, how do we want to treat the gaps that are existing? Do we want to leave them? Do we want to close them permanently? So that was one of the things that we wanted to know, how you all wanted to proceed. So I understand Dan will... We'll pass that along to the team, whatever that is. And so we should have something to you all on or around the 21st of March, a general plan for the Hammond Tyvek. Hobart Marsh Mitigation, we're also working on plans and stuff for that. We are looking at an award this summer.
So you're giving us an award?
A contract award.
Oh.
A contract award.
Easy placement.
We're getting a plaque.
right. So both of those we're tracking this summer for awards, Hammond and Hobart.
Okay, may I ask a question about the state line? It sounds like you guys have been having discussions and meetings as it relates to the gaps and how that's all going to work. Mm-hmm. How long before that's resolved, meaning finished?
The design, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, so I'm going off memory. But
it's government, so just give me an ish.
The design should be complete around May timeframe.
All right.
And we'll put it out for bid in the June timeframe, and an award July, August timeframe. Again, going off my memory.
Okay. Is this through us or through the Army Corps of Engineers?
How I'm explaining this is through us.
It's through you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
If we want to do something different, then we can.
I'm just trying to catch up. That's all.
That's how we're thinking it's going to go for now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did you say precast or cast in place?
Cast in place. I'm sorry if I said precast.
No,
I might have.
No.
Was cast in place.
I don't think you did.
Okay.
Anything else for Natalie? No? Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
How exciting.
Good luck. Two
yes.
things. Michael, I don't know who you offended, but...
to get assigned to this deal.
To win this award, but all the best to you.
It's only 3 months.
It'll seem like a year.
Be nice to him for 3 months while I'm gone, everyone. Be nice.
And Natalie, we wish you the best. And we've been doing a lot lately with credits and trying to move things. And Natalie has done a tremendous job in trying to keep everybody on task and keep information flowing. And sincerely, I thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, Ron.
And she really does.
You get the blood.
Send us pictures of the baby. We like babies.
Me too.
Grandbabies are better.
Hi, Lori. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Lori Zolno, Forest Avenue in Hammond. Natalie, good luck.
Thank you.
I'm sorry the applause are short-lived. Seriously, August?
You don't like that timeline?
I don't like that timeline. I have other people sitting in this room whose houses are affected who don't like that timeline. I'm sorry. I hope they'll get up and speak too. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. How much longer are we supposed to do this? Economic development. There are people who, 22 pieces of property, still in the floodplain. Now I'm concerned that I'm out of the floodplain. Maybe I'm not safe because now we're going to change the blocks. Those poor people, some of them are paying upwards of $3,000, maybe more. A year? Guys, lady, I know, but seriously, how much longer can you torture these poor people? If they had committed murder, they'd be out of jail by now.
How long has this been going on, Lori?
2008. I didn't drag the box in with the book because, frankly, you've worn me down. It probably weighs 50 pounds. I can pull out the plans, maybe 2010, the plans for the wall driven into the ground, 48 inches on top of a 54-inch water main. These people, everybody in that neighborhood, has put up with it long enough. We have homes for sale that aren't going to sell because we're still in the floodplain. Newspaper this week talked about somebody getting out of the floodplain. Griffith, maybe? More homes there? Come on. You know, I was going to bring my big ball of red tape in tonight to show you. Next month, it shows up here. And then the signs that go in the front yard with a little boy in the life jacket that says, Save Our Homes. How much longer can you ask these poor 22 people to wait? And then after the blocks are in place and the holes are closed, and we've poured on top of the blocks that we've had against what we said we would do to the neighbors in Illinois. And again, I feel sorry for them, but if push comes to shove, I'm all about saving my house and not theirs. So I'm all in favor of putting another 3 feet on top if that's what it's going to take. It's just wrong. Every month, it's we're meeting tomorrow, we're meeting next week, we're meeting we were meeting the Friday after last month's meeting, which would have been the 11th or 12th. Now we're meeting on the 15th. Now maybe on the 21st we'll have some information. Am I the only one who sees that this is getting past ridiculous?
It's already past ridiculous.
We think we've all seen it, Lori, and we've had this conversation. We saw a lot of this with regards to a lot of different aspects of it, and it's whatever I could say is not going to fix anything that you just outlined.
I mean,
it's just not. And it's unfortunate. It's sad. It's not something that anybody in this room should be proud of, but it's getting there, and it's arduous.
To say the least. I mean, it's actually, if I didn't feel sorry for those 22 homes, it would be comical. We could probably publish a weekly comic strip with what comes next. Mm-hmm. 2 steps forward, 25 steps back. It's just getting to be past ridiculous, and I feel very, very sorry for those poor people that are still being dragged down. And the worst part is, when the caps are poured and the VAPs are closed, then we can submit it to FEMA. And they can wait, what, 2 more years? I think that someone on Garcia's staff may have the ability to make FEMA decisions, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe when we come to that, maybe we ask Garcia, out of the graciousness of your hearts, to reevaluate those 22 pieces of property and see if they can't push that along.
I'm not sure about that.
Jump in there about that, because I'm not so sure about that.
Here's the thing with that. That's individual homes that they can be certified if their elevation meets the level of the 100-year flood elevation. None of these houses, and I believe Christopher Burke has already done this for the city of Hammond, right, has double-checked all the survey and stuff, so that isn't allowed. But there are capabilities, which is, what is it, the letter of map revision, that you can do it by only survey by the elevation of your house. But this is the case. All these houses or 22 structures are still underneath the 100-year. So yes, that is not going to be a resolution.
The only way that they'll get out is for a core-certified structure to provide protection for the 100-year flood. What's out there now, in place, plus the closings that we will do in the event of a structure, or in the event of a flood, provide for the 100-year, ignoring the topography, which if the Illinois levee breaks, the water's going to stay in Illinois. So the protection is there. There was an article in the local paper 4 or 5 years ago when we were going through this that basically said we need to protect the people, while the bureaucratic argument over what level and what caps and all that stuff went on. So that's the reason we put the things out there that are in place. So the protection is there. The process requires approvals and paperwork at the federal level that we really can't do anything other than provide our finances toward.
And I appreciate it, and I appreciate the things that the commission has done. But again, I have trouble looking these people in the eye, and I think everybody in this room should too. Maybe next month I can get them all to come, and you can explain it to all of them, and you can speak to them all individually and tell them how sorry you are. Because I've been saying it, and I've been defending you, and I've been defending the Corps to these people, these neighbors that I have to face, and frankly, I can't do it anymore.
Duly noted. Yes, sir.
My name is Robert Huffman. I'm from Munster, and I'd like to address a question of Mr. Repe. The contracts that you opened the bids for, were there engineering estimates made for these contracts?
Yes, there was.
Can you tell us what the engineering estimates were?
I can give you ish, as Mr. Baker likes, but I believe the Georgia Street adjustment was around $235,000, and I believe the levee paving was $650,000.
So the low bid for the levee paving was a little bit more?
186.
Than levee, no.
Oh. Lower.
Levee paving was lower.
Lower. Both.
Slightly. Okay, so in the normal course of events, then the contract, after following legal and technical review, would be awarded next month? Is that correct?
No, the motion is to be awarded now, as long as it passes legal review and technical review. So what we're doing is opening it and going through the legal and technical review, and so during the course of the next 30 days, I'll be checking with our attorney and making sure that it's done correctly, and then they can start.
So they should be seeing some activity out there within 30, 45 days?
I would say more 45 days just because of weather conditions, but that's my guess, yeah.
Okay, just as a little bit of background for the members of the board. I was on this commission starting in 1980, and one of the reasons that I was enticed to join the board was the recreational features of the project. So I was that I'll get on that project, and I'll be riding a bike trail out there in a few years. Well, it's been 36 years. And
that happened, too.
You're right.
Absolutely, it happened. That's another discussion, why that happened. But I was out yesterday riding the bike trails, including the bridge over the on the Monon Trail, and I'd like to express my appreciation for the cooperation that this commission has given that project, and for paving the levees, and Dan's commitment to completing the trail all the way from the Monon Trail to Martin Luther King Drive and continuing on to Three Rivers Park. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Sandy O'Brien. Thank you so much for moving along with the Overt Marsh project. I'm glad to hear summer maybe, huh? That's awesome. Thought I'd never see the day. So that's great. You guys deserve an award, the Corps and the Commission for that. Thank you. And I'm glad to see the levees working. With the trail, that's good too. I know people that use those trails. They're actually useful for getting from one end of the city to the other too. So it'd be nice if all those connections do get made. I'm glad, Dan, you're thinking about that. That's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening, everybody. Eric Sprenna, Highland resident and member of the Northwest Indiana Paddling Association. Just wanted to let you know that I was listening to Dan's radio program, the last edition, and he fielded a phone call asking if there might be and when there might be a paddling trip on the Little Cal River. I just want to let you guys know that we have tentatively set a date of May 14th for the Northwest Indiana Paddling Association to host a paddling trip, probably from Kennedy Avenue down to Grant Street. At this point in time, it's tentative, but I'll come back next month and let you know when we finalize the date. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you. May 14th. Anyone else like to address the board? Once, twice. Next meeting. Man, it's April already. Holy cow. Spring's here. Is it real?
I posed that question to Dan, and I had.
What are you talking about, Mr. Gazdecki?
I'm a little nervous right now.
I know, me too. So it's outside of all the realms you want to talk. Go ahead. What do you got?
I have a question as to, has anybody brought to your attention or is anyone concerned that it appears that when you get off I-65 and you go north of 61st Avenue and you start getting into the New Chicago and some of those areas there, there's a lot of water that I don't ever recall seeing. And I don't know if there's culverts that are clogged, if there's beaver activity, but it looks like some of those homes are close to being inundated with water if they're not already.
And I'm just to make sure that I know, is it on the east side of 65?
Well, it's on the east side, if you yes, but it's right. Also, there's a railroad spur that goes on the west side of 65 also that I've never noticed water backing up like that. It's at such a high level against the embankment.
Yeah, if it's the same area I'm thinking of and that you're describing, I think that I know, it's the surveyor's office is actually working on, there is an issue with a culvert that runs underneath I-65 in that location that they are dealing with the city of Hobart, if that's the roundabout,
sure,
the right area.
It's gotta be.
North side of 65, south the ridge.
61st.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that come together. Rosser Lakes comes across just a little bit closer to Ridge Road at that point, and then further back, they have an issue with a culvert. I don't know if it's, I certainly want to speculate, it could be collapsed or it could be blocked. One of the two, that, and it's a remote area that they're trying to get to deal with.
Does that water drain into Lake George or Deep River, or where do you know where it goes?
Rosser Lake actually goes into our area, the place south of the railroad goes into Deep River, because the railroad sort of,
right, natural,
yeah, blocks it. But Rosser Lake actually flows underneath I-65 to the interchange, underneath the I-65-94 interchange into what we call the boomerang, which is the levee that you see as you're exiting from northbound 65 to westbound 94, and then it goes underneath Martin Luther King, and then goes underneath the railroad tracks, and then back through underneath Martin Luther King on the north side of the tracks.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you guys all followed that. I'm zigzagging.
So they're working on it.
I know they're aware of it. If it's the same one, I know they're dealing with an issue out there. We talked.
Thank you.
All right. Next meeting is April 13th. It's spring. Rain's in the spring. So everybody, please help us pay attention to what's going on in this system. Thanks for coming out. Take care.